Moncrief on News Talk.
For any well-known person, they reach an age when something is written about them that they are probably not aware of and never will be, their obituary. In the New York Times, for instance, there are over 2,000 obits ready to be updated and published when the time comes. Putting them together is a skill that requires a degree of delicacy, but an adherence to the truth. Something Adam Bernstein knows all about. Between the Washington Post and now the New York Times, he spent 17 years writing and editing obituaries. Good afternoon, Adam.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. And I was wondering how you were going to transfer from slugs to me.
Yes.
You did it beautifully.
No link between those two items, I can assure you.
Thank you.
are people told that an obituary has been prepared about them in advance?
Very rarely. I mean, it's very uncommon for us to reach out in advance to say, hi, we're ready. It's not as common now as it once was. Actually, at the New York Times, there was a very famous reporter named Alden Whitman who was the first really big obit writer here, who made a name for himself reaching out to well-known statesmen and movie stars to call on them in advance. And he never said, I'm here to write your obituary. He always said, I'm here just to collect a few facts for the record. But people came to know his name, and so whenever Alden Whitman would call on you, it was very much understood that it was for an advance obituary.
Yeah.
People like Anthony Eden and Betty Davis come to mind.
And the obituaries that are already prepared, how often are they revisited to be updated?
That's a great question. You usually like to think you're writing the usually around age 80 or so is when you start to think, okay, it's time to prepare a major figure. Somebody that you would not want to write at the last minute on deadline. It's actually decreased quite a bit because of a lot of younger people, and younger people especially expect these obituaries to go up online. A lot of younger influencers and sort of second-tier performers who years ago would never have even warranted an obituary do so well online in terms of leadership that it's incumbent on us both to do very traditionally distinguished people as well as people we think would be fascinating to much younger readers as well. So that's how we go about that.
Yeah. But if the figure is a divisive figure, I assume it must be a tricky balance to maintain, in that people will be reading this obituary and perhaps 50% will think this person is a villain, the other 50% will think they're wonderful.
Right. Right. I mean, there have been a few cases where several advance obituaries on people who, late in life, like a Bill Cosby, for example, undergo a complete revaluation based on news that has emerged. The delicate part of doing something like that is balancing not just the abhorrent aspects of the life, but trying to convey to the reader why they're worth reading about as well. In other words, you're not just writing about a criminal, you're writing about somebody who for a long time was distinguished and made a difference and was influential. The length of the obituary is not just because he or she may have done something terrible, but because they reached a certain pinnacle and had tremendous influence, but also making sure you're balancing it with how the legacy changed. You know, what is the legacy? What was the legacy? It's often quite fascinating to see how that changes. Unfortunately, it has happened several times.
Mm.
So it's a lot of work to try and reevaluate the life, but it's also important to reach out to experts. It's not just us making our, putting in our opinion, it's reaching out to first-rate experts on any kind of figure to say, why is this person important? Is he or she still important despite something terrible that may have happened later in their life? It's an important question to ask.
Yeah.
You're making readers read this because they're ultimately because they did something worth reading about, not because it's terrible.
Yeah. And do you have to take into consideration the feelings of their family?
it's not our primary consideration. We're not trying to be epidemiologists. We're not funeral home directors. We're news reporters. So we're covering, you have to be obviously very sensitive because people are going through probably the worst time in their life. But ultimately, we're responsible to the reader. We're here to convey to a broad readership why this person is worth reading about at all. And if you can't be whitewashing a life. This happened not too long ago where somebody who is a well-known naval photographer, somebody who did some tremendous photography at the North Pole and really a pioneer in Arctic photography and taking nuclear submarines to the Arctic Circle. He was highly accomplished as a Navy officer. In the family, whether because they didn't know about it or they just didn't want it known, left off the fact that his career came to an abrupt halt. He was on his way to becoming a Navy admiral, but saw his career come to an abrupt halt when he had an affair with an underling, somebody who ultimately he married and had a long marriage with. But this made news. It wasn't that we were digging for dirt. It was more we discovered it. It was covered in a public way, and the family was obviously disheartened to see it in the story, but it was important to note because it had a career, it had an effect on his career. It wasn't just a salacious detail. It explained the course of the career. So you always have to balance, is this worth putting in if it's not, let's say, a more positive attribute, with how do readers better understand the course of this life.
Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Byers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
Somebody who will be turning 80 this weekend is your current president. I would imagine that's an obituary that has to be updated on a regular basis.
Right. It's, any president we have to be prepared for, not just the current one. You would expect that of major newspapers. And, it's a challenge what to include, what not to include. But ultimately, I think it would be a fair story and one that would be, it would have to be done by the highest, at the highest level, obviously. A lot of readers are ultimately going to either love it or hate it. There's some obituaries, just like in life, where people are just so completely divisive that, it's not always can we win here, but how much can we not lose in terms of readers' favor by trying to present everything to the best of our abilities, writing it in the most compelling possible way, and explaining the life. Even more important, we don't look at things as good or bad. We just try and reveal the facets of the life. That holds true whether you're talking about the president or a musician or, somebody not super famous but accomplished in his or her field. So whether it's a president or somebody much less known is not as relevant as how can we present the details most vividly? How do we explain the personality, for better or for worse, the pivotal moments of that person's life? How do we make it lively? How do we draw in readers who may not, everybody's going to want to read about the president, but not everybody's going to want to read about somebody they never have heard of before.
Yeah.
And 99% of our stories are about people that you haven't heard of.
Mm. Yeah, no, of course. In the case of Donald Trump, so it would be probably the form of it would be to describe his life rather than the effect of his actions or try to analyze the effect of those actions.
It's a trick, when you're dealing with presidents of any, whether Trump or anybody else, the hardest thing is, even when you get so much more space as a reporter than you would for most people, trying to just, it's not always pleasurable as a reporter because it's always about what you can't put in strictly because of space, not because you didn't want to. It's just that these aren't books. Even if you're writing about the Pope, which we obviously have done, 10,000 words, you're going to have to still leave something out. They're not formal book-length biographies. So it's how can you, it's a balance between personality and character. the main events of the life, and trying to explain to readers what, not just what they did, but why they did it, sometimes for better, sometimes for worse, whether they're the president or anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, in any obituary, these are not, again, I can't stress this enough, because I think readers often, even regular followers of our page, sometimes get, to your point earlier, a little surprised when you write about somebody's shortcomings. And an obituary is not a eulogy. It's about the attainments. It's also about the shortcomings, but it's also about what difference they made in their era. The hardest thing for us to do is to get readers to care about somebody who's often quite accomplished from, let's say, 50 years ago. And somebody that you and I might say, oh my gosh, that person just died. I can't tell you how many times I've gone into, you know, schools to teach a class, and I asked somebody to raise their hand, how many of you have heard of, you know, Tom Brokaw, who's a, I don't know if he's, if he's a big deal in Ireland, but a major, you know, somebody who was on the news for 30 years as a nightly news anchor, and nobody's heard of him. And it's astonishing. So you can never take for granted that somebody, that readers, especially younger readers, know or care about somebody. So the most important thing you can do as an obituary writer is don't take for granted that people automatically care. That's our biggest challenge.
Adam, thanks very much for speaking with us. It was Adam Bernstein there. He's the New York Times Deputy Obituaries Editor.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.